Techheads. Podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
G'day, welcome everyone to another episode of Aussie Tech Heads. Yes, this week, what's the date down there? I can't see it. It's for the 5th of March. Oh, geez, sounds like apples in the air. I think we've got a story about Apple and something springing into action or something. That's coming up soon. So we're brought to you every week by athwebhosting.com.au. So jump on in and get some nice little shared service hosting space. You know, if you've got a business or just want to write a blog, you know, you can set it all up yourself and go for gold. Learn how to do it. As a matter of fact, I found some, there's some Udemy courses. There's one today, the ultimate web development course or something from $200 down to $19. You can get some really good courses if you just have a look there. And the course that I looked at, went for like, there was something like 73 videos of how to, went through PHP and MySQL and all the, you know, all the good stuff. So yeah, jump into some of that for $19. You can't go wrong. Watch the videos and learn on your iPad. It's great. And also thanks to scopeiteducation.com.au for their wonderful support of both the shows, Aussie Tech Heads and Aussie Mac Zone. All right, let's see who we've got here tonight. We've got a bit light on tonight, but we have a special guest. But first, let's go to Will and see what Will's been up to. Hello, William.
Hey, mate. How you doing?
Not too bad. What have you been up to?
I always thought I was classified as special. I'd feel disappointed, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I'm special in you know, but I'm still special.
Yeah, you are special. We try our best to accommodate your special needs. And so you've just been telling us before the show you've been pretty hot up there in Ipswich.
It's horrible. It got to 42 in Ipswich today. It got to 39 or 40 in Brisbane. Mm. Upstairs in the lounge room where it's air conditioned, it's still 32, and I'm down here in the computer room with the door closed and the window shut and everything to try and keep the dog barking away. And
oh, is that dog still going? Is it?
Yeah, and I got the computer and I got four screens and everything here, so it's got to be pushing 40 degrees still in my computer room.
Yeah, nice, good work, Will. Look, good to see that you got commitment. It's great. All right,
I got something.
Yeah, all right, good stuff. All right, and let's I suppose you could call it filling in tonight for who's not here. Shane, his computer broke. Eric, he's can't make it, and Jason, he's working. So filling in, I rang up this next person and said, "Hey, do you want to fill in?" His name's Rennie, and he said, "Yes." Hello, Rennie. How you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, so tell us a bit about yourself, Rennie. You've been an avid watcher of the show. You watch it through YouTube, don't you?
Yeah, 90% of the time. It's a bit hard to get to the show live sometimes, so I prefer to do it. You know, next day I'm always there, so just catching up on what you guys had to say.
Oh, good stuff. And I can see that you're well into it. There's a PC, an open PC, which is good to see in the background there. And oh, yeah, a bunch of other junk, a printer or a fax or something there. So you're well into it. Good stuff.
Yeah, there's a couple of printers back there. And
oh, yeah. And a good chair too. Look at that chair. It looks like the command control chair. That's beautiful, isn't it? The little headrest.
Like yes. Yeah.
Warp 1, engaged. That's the way. And so tell us, you're a Mac or PC person?
Seriously, PC.
Yeah, and what about like your mobile devices?
All Apple.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Yeah, I'm the same. I've got the PC for desktop and laptops, and yeah, I think just Apple just kills it in the other space. But better not say that too loud because William's there just spitting out a drink.
I'll tell you you're wrong, but you already know because you use the product. So
yeah. Oh, we had a.
You must know how wrong you are.
Yeah. But so mobile apples are the way to go. All right. Now we got all that out of the way. Now look, I
eat apples for lunch, and I mean, I actually do eat apples for lunch. So you know,
I've got a Chromecast. Do you have TV things, Rennie?
Yeah, I got a Chromecast, and
you don't have the Apple TV?
No.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I got one of those, and just to test it out. That works all right. Now, Will, someone sent me an email through the week about something you said about Chromecasts, because I think we had a discussion the other week about them, and they were saying, I think we were saying that how they streamed, you know, whether they streamed through the phone or they connected directly to the internet.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think you were sort of going down the path that they were connecting through
it
the phone.
It depends on what applications and what you're doing, yeah. It depends on how it connects.
Yes, yeah, because I think, so pretty much if you're using Plesk or something, you could start your stream going from your computer.
Microphone has been muted, Glenn. I cannot hear a word you're saying.
Mine's been muted.
That's come good. You just about 10 seconds, you disappeared completely.
Oh, sorry about that. You just didn't want to hear the bagging I give you.
Yeah, well, it's that. No. I'm used to that.
So, no, there was, if you're playing, if you're streaming something from your server with Plesk, yep. Then it doesn't stream through the phone once it started. The Chromecast
takes over, yeah.
Takes over? Yep, that's right, cool. I just wanted to get that straight because I think there was some confusion out there.
Yeah, that's what I said. It depends on which particular combination of things you're using. Like if you're, for example, coming off a web page off your PC, then once you flick it across the Chromecast, it will start displaying what's on your web page, but once it actually loads that page and buffers it, it'll continue from the Chromecast. Mm. But from your phone, for example, because you can play media off your hard drive or off your phone to the device, then if you're playing it from your phone and flick a video from your phone across to the Chromecast, it'll continue playing on your phone. So it'll use your phone for the processing and just use the data transfer across the Wi-Fi. So it depends entirely on what you're doing with it.
Yep. Cool. All right. Now let's get into some stories, shall we? Look, I've got one. I'll kick off with one. I'm just going to look. I'm trying to give video guys the pictures this week. I'm going to try my hardest. I did save all the pictures, so we're going to see how this works. All right. So Ford. That's a strange name to come up in a show like this, isn't it? So they're showing off smart e-bikes. Now these look pretty cool. There's these little things here. This is what they look like. Cool or sad. They've got no spokes. What do they call them? Tufts or something. They've got the hard plastic things as spokes. But anyway, all eyes are on the self-driving and semi-autonomous cars, but Ford has revealed a new type of smart vehicle at this World Congress in Barcelona. Now, this is called the Modi bike. So there are two versions of the bike, the Modi Me, and that's for urban commuters, and the Modi Pro. And that's for the urban commercial viewers. Now, do I have another picture? I think I might have another one. That's another one. Now, there are two primary differences.
Oh, you see, that's a chick magnet waiting to happen, that one.
That is. Look how high that seat is, Will. Hey?
Perfect.
Look at that. Isn't that a beauty?
What you failed to mention is that's just one. They come in pairs and you wear them on your feet.
A little bit crazy. I like how they got them in front of the car, though. But two primary differences between the Modi Me and the Modi Pro. The first is the Modi Pro has a rack on the back. Oh, great selling point. Which one was that? That was,
one with the rack on the back, hello.
That's not the Modi.
That'd be the
Modi Pro. It's like a little post office bike. Maybe that's how they can save some money. Send courier the posties bike. Out on that, yeah. Now, the second is that where did I start from? The primary difference, yeah, the second is that the Me can be folded up and taken on transport, public transport, whereas the Pro can be stowed in commercial vehicles. So that's the one that folds up, I'd say. Now, both come with a 200-watt motor and a 9...
Okay, so they're both illegal in Australia. That's a good start.
Why is that?
We're only allowed to run up to 160 watts or something in Australia.
Okay. And what about a 9 milliamp battery? Is that milliamps? Is that how you...
Amp hour.
Yeah. Is that good?
Well, that means it'll run for probably, I don't know, I'm guessing, like maybe half hour.
Now, you can get one of these little beasts up to 15 miles per hour, apparently, without excessive effort. That's good.
So what's that, 25 Ks? So that's, yeah. I mean, if you're just scooting around town, that's all right.
Now, both the Pro and the Me are kitted out with a rear-facing ultrasonic sensor, similar to that seen on the connected cars. Now, the good thing about these little bikes, I suppose, is they come with an app, And so you can put like your Google Maps and whatever into it or something similar. And then as you've got this on your back or something, and it must Bluetooth to the bike somehow. And then when it says to turn right, because you know, obviously you're not going to be looking at the phone while you're cycling, that'd be dangerous. So what happens is that the handlebars will vibrate like left or vibrate right. Things like
which works perfectly when you're driving over cobblestones and brickwork and, I don't know, Australian roads in general. It'd be fine. You'd never tell it.
Well, you just look for the badness in everything. It's great. It's great. But they must – well, what about – how about then the version that you want, Will, the seat goes up or down or swings from side to side? Depends whether
– that just depends if I'm sitting on it or standing on the pedals. It doesn't matter. The seat does that anyway. Actually, I have to clarify. The maximum power permitted in Australia used to be 200 watts. As of May, it'll be up to 250. So they have actually brought that up. So, and 25 kilometres an hour with a maximum speed.
Mm. Now, the app is also developed by Ford called the Modi Link. And so this will, yes, it apparently automatically does indicators as well. Additionally, it includes smart routing, which integrates journey planning.
So suddenly all this has gone from a 45-minute run time to a 5-minute run time.
Yeah, probably. That's right. So, I suppose if you're pedalling, I suppose you're charging up at the same time.
You can,
is that right?
You can get from the train station to the train and then from the train to the train station.
Mm. So the whole thing is in prototype phase. So who knows when one of these are going to come out. But you see yourself on one of those, Rennie? Which one's your fancy?
I'm just trying to think of a pickup line for Will. what's the app called? Modi Link. Sounds like a dating site.
Yeah, Modi Link.
So.
Yeah, but
maybe who wants a dink? Who wants a dink on my
link
bike?
Yeah. Who wants a dink with the link?
Do they have?
They what?
Do they have proposed prices for those things? Do they have proposed prices?
Not that I see. Okay.
I mean, you can buy as it is lithium battery electric 250-watt electric bikes that will run for 60 or 70 kilometres for like $2,000. So, you know, they better be priced just because they're made by Ford, you know, big deal.
I know, but I think the Modi, whichever one it is that folds up, that's probably a good idea. You know,
they've got them already. They've got folding bikes. There's ones, there's a mob that we supply batteries for.
Yeah, right.
That make folding bikes that, you know, there's nothing special about that.
Oh, okay. There was something folding.
Get a mobility scooter and you're good to go.
That's right. I wonder if it comes...
Supercharged mobility scooter doing wheelies down the street.
Yeah, it might come with a benefit. You never know. It'd be good. All right.
Yeah, the benefit is you can park anywhere you want.
Yeah, it comes with a sticker. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Will, what have you got to talk about this week?
All right, I've got a few things, just a couple of quick stories. You know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about updates of things that are coming out. The Raspberry Pi has been around for a while. The Pi 2 has recently been released, but it comes in conjunction with Windows 10 because if you have a Raspberry Pi 2, there will be a free release through the Windows Developer Program for Windows 10. Mm. And because of the architecture in that, it's quite a powerful unit, the Raspberry Pi 2. So if you wanted to run that and you want to run like dumb terminals or you want to do like point of sale terminals or you want to have like the in-net kiosks or anything like that, you want lightweight, get those. Free Windows, free, you know, virtually what's the hardware, $45 worth of hardware.
That's pretty good.
So.
And that's running Windows 10.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So will it run like 8?
Windows 10's got the multi-platform. Because I think these have the ARM. It's either the ARM or they've got, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they've got the architecture that the Windows 10 supports.
Yeah, right.
So
I think it's Windows embedded, isn't it?
Like the RT or whatever it is. It's that particular variant of it.
Right. So it's not like a full-blown,
It'd be probably like the tablet one, I'd imagine.
Yeah, the RT.
Yeah.
Well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's Windows in terms of, they reckon it runs everything Windows runs, but it's only just been released, so I haven't seen any reviews on it yet. So I'm actually, I was thinking about getting a Raspberry Pi 2, now I'm really thinking about it.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Do you have a Windows tablet ready, or what Windows are you running? Did I fade out?
Yeah, you did. Sorry, I'm stuck on 7.
Oh, right.
So am I.
Oh, you'll still get the upgrade to 10?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll be happy, but as soon as it lobs, I'll be in there. I'm running that machine behind me. I'm running a trial version of Windows 10 on that, and it's very slick. It's an old machine.
Mm.
It's old quad core with 4 gig of RAM, and it's pretty snappy.
So. Oh, yeah, that's the way. Yeah, and what are you just playing around with that machine, just seeing how it all works?
Just trying to keep abreast of what's going on with it.
New system. So what do you think about, say, Windows like 8/10, like I say, as far as the Metro interface? Are you a fan of that so-called Metro interface?
No.
Short answer, no.
Well, even if I was, I mean, I can't get anybody else to buy into it, you know.
I don't like it.
Look, I probably don't mind it. You must use it on a tablet. You can't use it on a PC.
Yeah, that's right.
Use it on a touchscreen, yes, but the same old problem is there's no apps for this thing. There's just nothing. Nothing of substance. It's crazy. But apparently I read that the developers are taking the Windows 10 and they're punching apps out. So let's see how that goes.
Well, once again, it's the second operating system, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. All right. Now, Randy, you brought along some stories this week.
I did.
Where do you want to start?
Good question. Let me have a look. Well, Netflix is going to launch on the 24th of March, finally.
Good. Are you a subscriber to these things?
We've gone from, you know, having QuickFlix to basically a surfeit of streaming applications. You've got... your old mate Stan there.
Yeah.
And was it Presto?
The Presto. Yes. Did you download your free Presto? Is it 3 months for free from your Chromecast?
No.
Yeah.
the problem I have here is, and I'd be on this if, in a flash if I had some bandwidth, but I just don't have the bandwidth. I'm not going to pay for to watch buffering, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. What, have you got ADSL 2, I would hope?
Yeah, it's just slow.
Yeah, but just really, really slow.
It's a whopping 3 gig down. So,
I've got a similar sort of problem because at the moment I've got plenty of bandwidth, but I've just changed who my online backup is. So I'm using who am I using? I don't know. I've just changed to someone.
Backblaze.
I know who I was using, but I'm not using them anymore. But I've just changed to CrashPlan.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got 2 terabytes plus to put up onto CrashPlan.
Oh, that's going to take you 12 months.
Well, that's it. I've got...
2 terabytes.
I've still got... It's been sitting on 85 days for about the last month.
I read actually, because I'm looking into all this online backup for, you know, I want to, like, as well as web hosting, I want to start to offer online backup for people as well. And I read something, and I'm not sure if CrashPlan subscribes to this, but I read that once you get up to so many gigs or megs or gigs that you've uploaded, because they obviously think, okay, this guy is not serious, he's more than a little home user or whatever, they'll slow your upload. Now, I'm not sure if CrashPlan does that.
No, CrashPlan don't do it.
Yeah.
They're fully unlimited. But, I mean, the average computer now, there wouldn't be a computer sold that doesn't have a 2 terabyte hard drive in it.
True, but you don't fill it up.
You do. The amount of hard drives I see that are 6 months old and they're full.
Yeah, but full of what?
Crap. But the problem is it's going to be backed up. Because if you've got an online backup and you're backing up your hard drive, it's going to be backed up.
Yeah, and another thing that some of them do, and this is only what I've read, I don't know which ones do what, but another thing that they do is that if you are uploading your music, they'll know if this or this that track by its digital signature or whatever already exists on their server somewhere, and they won't upload it again. They'll point to it. So I'm not sure if that's quite right, but it must be like their digital signature must be for like a good chunk of the song, mustn't it? Otherwise, you know, you don't want to be – it probably would be different if you sung along over the top.
Well, it would be different if you've purchased a song that's got – if it's, you know, got the downloadable – the copy – what do they call it? The DRM?
DRM. Yeah, so, yeah, well, yeah, look, I'm not sure how that worked. It was just that some of them...
Well, so that's part of the reason I went to these guys, Crash Plan, because I was using Backblaze, but then they started making everything encrypted, and you couldn't access the files online. Like, if you need to do a restore, you could only restore the whole lot.
Yeah, okay.
You right. couldn't do a selective restore.
Right.
Which right. means that not only did I have to... I had to uninitiate the old computer, reinitiate the new one, do a force restore of everything that's on that backup, and then it would delete it off the server so I could upload it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, hang on a minute. That's not right.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy. But
I've been using Crash Plan for about 3 years now, and I've actually done some restores from it.
Yeah.
Even with my crappy connection, yes, it takes a while to upload. But I'm only backing up, you know, photos and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got... See, the thing is, with it too, it allows you to do one friend computer. Like the basic plan I've got, it lets me do my, obviously, unlimited drives internally on my computer. It recognises another computer on my network, or my NAS or an external hard drive. It will let me do a friend's computer remotely somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it'll let me do up to four. So it'll let me do my computer, a friend's computer, another computer on my network or my NAS, and a folder, which is another way of saying an external hard drive.
And how
so I can do all these different things on the basic plan.
And what does that cost you? About $7 a month?
Oh, not even. I think I'm paying, because I bought the first 12 months outright, I think it was $3 a month or something.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I remember, Rennie, when I first joined the Crash Plan, I've been with them probably nearly 4 years. I think I must be up pretty soon. And I think I got the 4 years for about $115. It was, massively cheap.
Yeah, they had one of those Black Friday sales that got me hooked.
Yeah,
I think I got it for $13 or something. So
yeah,
for a year.
That's all right, yeah.
But no, they've only got to get you for the first year, because I know after that they'll keep you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're sucked in.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do? Just say, oh, no, I want to spend another year uploading everything to someone else.
Especially when it takes you four or five months to upload it all in the first place.
Yeah. Sorry, Rennie, what was that?
As Will said, I mean, you can back up locally as well, because I'm running a Windows Server 2012 Essentials here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a spare disk in it, which I just use Crash Plan to back up everything on my D drive.
Yes.
Just for the hell of it, you know, and it's, I mean, that's free. I mean, you can actually use that for nothing. So
yeah, and also you can...
Bad if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And you can also do from, say, a friend. And to your computer if you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, look, that's pretty good. Their software's pretty good. I've been using them for a while, so they're good. Obviously, they're good. We're all using them. But, getting back to, Netflix, 24th of March, they sort of lagged behind Presto and Stan, didn't they? Stan kicked it all off early than that was expected. I think they were all going to launch in March, but Stan kicked off last month. $10 a month for Stan. I signed up to see what it was all about. Missed the damn 30-day free cutoff, and I got $10 out of me. But I'll set myself a reminder for next month. But, Presto, I think I've mentioned that they don't have an iPhone app. I don't understand. Like, that's how we don't watch it on the phone, but you send it to the Apple TV. I don't understand why they don't have the iPhone app. I've got no idea.
Probably because that's duplicating an existing service and Apple won't allow it.
Well, Stan's got it. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that is new how to pay.
Yeah, who knows? But Netflix is to launch on 24th March. Look, I'll suss that out as well. And
we don't know what content they've got there yet. I mean, because Netflix has done all these deals with Foxtel and whoever else is running around. And you got to wonder, I mean, the real attraction for Netflix is... getting things like, what is it, House of Cards and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, yeah.
If that's still on Foxtel, well, you know, people aren't going to be actually, you know, flocking to it unless they really got some.
But then I think if you were a person that watched a lot of shows like this, you could probably subscribe to all three of them, the Stans, the Prestos and the Netflix, and it would probably be cheaper than a Foxtel subscription.
So
it might work for
that
you.
That wouldn't be hard.
No, it wouldn't be. It's probably subscribe twice and still be cheaper.
just off to the gym here, mate.
Yeah, oh, nice work.
spending an hour in the gym, according to your posts.
That's right, the post. Yes, red wine was what was that? A glass of red wine was equivalent to an hour in the gym. That's all right. I'll do quite a few hours tomorrow night. I'll be fit as a fiddle in a couple of weeks. All right, Lenovo. Oh, look, Lenovo. They're still going. But I think Rennie's got something to say about them in a second. But they're debuting a $149 US Windows tablet. But still, I don't know why. There's no apps for them. But anyway, so maybe they're anticipating these apps. But you could get this. You can get these Windows tablets. They've launched three, actually. One Windows, two Androids. A 10-inch Android, an 18-inch Android, and this Windows thing. The I won't go through all the specs of it. It's all in the show notes if you want to go and have a look at it. The Android ones, yeah, one of them will run Jelly Bean, one of them doesn't, you know, so you got to watch what one you're picking up there. What's the latest, Will, these days? Jelly Bean or is there something else?
Lamington or something? I can't remember at the moment.
there will be the colours and...
Yes. I have to look it up all the time. It's always changing.
So the Androids will be less than 200. The 8-inch one will be less than 129. So that's not bad. The Mix 300 was the Windows 8.1, runs on an Intel Atom processor, has up to 64 gig of storage. So it has all the normal things, micro SD, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, two cameras. Lenovo also said that the iPad Mix has a long battery life, but no specs on exactly how long. Blah, blah, blah. And,
well, that's interesting because the Nokia has just released a 7.9-inch tablet called the and it's the N1, which is what their failed phone was called. And it's, for the base model, is $249.
Mm. Yeah, that's getting pretty cheap, isn't it? And all those models come with Superfish pre-installed. Excellent work. So now, what were you talking about, Lenovo, Rennie? You had something to do with Lenovo, didn't you? Where are you going?
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, talk about just crapware in general on new PCs and whatnot. I mean, I had to buy a laptop for a family friend the other day and got it home and had a look at it. Before I even got it home, I said, I suppose this comes preloaded with lots of crapware. And the guy said, yeah, we can get rid of it for $90.
Oh, no,
I'm not falling into that little trap, thank you. This is a $500 computer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quite okay, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but $90 to clean it up, yeah. I thought I can do that for nothing, you know.
Yeah, exactly, but I suppose some people can't, can they? And they just have to do it. But, yeah, look, I don't know, I think Lenovo, they've got a class action against them now, haven't they, about all this Superfish business. I think we spoke about the Superfish over the last couple of shows, which is basically a virus that they were installing onto the computers too, so they could grab data from it, like what you're browsing and all this sort of stuff, to eventually go back to, I don't know, some company that would serve you up ads.
They break HTTPS, you know, and
that's right,
direct you to other ad sites that they make money out of, which is totally hackable. So,
yeah,
they got caught out big time, and they've sort of pulled their horns in a bit and said, we're not going to launch with so much crapware next time, you know.
They're still going to put it on.
If you buy a ThinkPad or something, you don't get it. But, I just hope others like HP and Asus, you know, take a leaf out of their book.
I got a, I can't remember what I bought. Asus, I think. The first one I bought was a HP, which I ended up taking back because it was nothing like the specs even said it was, but it was so full of crapware it wasn't even funny. But then I got the... I'll have to go out and see what it is. I can't remember what it is. Whatever it was I bought the second time around. It really didn't have much on it. It was pretty tame in comparison.
Hmm. And, because I've bought a couple of laptops, but I always find the ones that I go out and service, all of them have got this McAfee virus protector thing on it. It's never ever used. Like, you know, it's just dead or it's...
It is. A lot of computers I've done, they go, oh, what are you running? They said, oh, Norton or McAfee. I said, why are you running that? Oh, because it came with the computer. I'm like, well, what happened after 30 days? Oh, I had to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah.
Why?
Well, people don't know. But, like, oh, you got to, you know, it's good to buy one of them. I bought that Malware Bites. I think I bought that was pretty good.
No, if you're going to buy one, that's the one to buy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, let's see what else has been going on. Oh, did anyone see the Four Corners last Monday night, something like that, last week? It was a replay of the apparently a controversial episode that was produced by the BBC about the ongoings at Apple's iPhone factories. So it's probably an interesting sort of a watch. It's still on the iView now, if you want to go and have a look at it. It went through the same old routine, really, you know, about, you know, the workers are overworked, they're falling asleep on the job and blah, 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 jumping out windows and all this sort of stuff. They're signing to work a 16-hour shift and all this sort of stuff, and they're not supposed to be working more than 60 hours a week, which I find is quite a long, big amount anyway, isn't it? What's the normal working week? 48? So that's another 12, that's another, say, 2 days. That's pretty big. But anyway, Apple has written back to the BBC and also to the ABC because they rebroadcast it over here and basically said, you know, they don't agree with it. And look, I think Apple has tried to do the right thing. They've tried to implement some changes over the time. And who's to know when this program was actually, you know, recorded, you know, so you don't know all these little things. But, yeah, I think Apple's going all right. One of the guys in one of the statements that came through from Apple, the guy goes, look, if you've got evidence of people falling asleep on the factory line, let me know, because that would hold up the processing plant. You know, if someone's got their head on the conveyor belt or something. But Apple is reported to make a profit of $248 US on every phone sold. And Pegatron, which makes the phone, apparently spends $5 to produce each device. So, yeah, bit of a markup there if that's true.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. You got any thoughts on that one, Rennie? Is that what's going on over there, or it's a bit of a storm in a teacup trying to bring the tall poppy down?
Well, the irony is that I don't think Apple's going to be doing, you know, can do much about, you know, Chinese labour laws.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, nor should we expect them to. I mean,
yeah,
there's a reason why they don't make phones in Australia, and that's because we don't allow that sort of stuff. So,
we don't. Yeah, I thought it might have just been an economic thing, but is it like we don't allow it for some reason?
Well, yeah, you want to work 60 hours a week in Australia. Unless you're an executive, you know, you're going to get paid overtime and everything else, and the price will go through the roof. So
yeah, that's right. Well, I know.
Yeah.
We've got a small business owner.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's small. Yeah.
What's 60 hours? Oh, nothing. All right. What are you groaning for, Will?
No, that's what I was about to say. I said, it's not supposed to happen.
Oh, no, but it does, yeah. Well, I mean, it's the only way
to
get
people to do one. We, as a country, we have one of the highest unpaid overtime rates in the world. The average person does something like 12 hours a week extra unpaid overtime.
Yeah, that's probably about right. So I remember when I used to work for the bank, it was all... there was just general knowledge, all just general consensus that you just didn't claim overtime. You just didn't do it. And if you stayed there for however long, well, you know, it's what you do to get ahead.
Yeah. See, I don't work that way. I never have. You want me to be employed by you from 8 till 5, I will work for you from 5 till 8 till 5 past 5. That's that simple. If you want me to work longer, you pay me more. And if you don't pay me more, I go home.
Yeah. I always used to try and get ahead. But, you know,
and my bosses have eventually figured out that that's the way I am, and they either deal with it or they don't. And if they don't, I go and work somewhere else. It doesn't faze me.
Mm. But if you had a career progression plan in a company, you'd probably have a different outlook, would you?
Nope. Well, I wouldn't, because you have hired me to do the job that you've employed me to do between those hours.
Yeah.
If you need me to be there an hour early and an hour after, well, then obviously you've done something wrong, and you either need to pay me for those extra hours on there, or you do the work for me, because you didn't. That was not part of the original agreement. The agreement that I signed when I started working from you was 8 till 5.
Well, maybe you weren't efficient enough in those 8 hours.
That's a lot of the places I've worked at, they want you to go in early so you can set up the shop, you can open up, you can count the till, you can do all that sort of stuff. Well, in that case, you're not hiring me from 8, you're hiring me at 7. So you either want me to start at 7 and get all that stuff done before I start, or you want me to start at 8 and open the doors at 9. It's your choice. I don't care which way it is, but I'm not working and I'm not doing extra hours and not getting paid for it.
Mm. Yes. Well, that's fair enough. You want to get paid for what you do. All right. Continue on with a story, Will, if you got one.
Just a quick one. This was actually whilst the show was happening. I just received this email from Google Mail at Hotmail.com, I think is where it came from. And so you know it's legit.
Oh, yeah.
And it basically says that Microsoft/Google promo is pleased to notify you that your email account has been selected to receive the sum of... That's a lot of zeros. $1.5 million and an Apple MacBook Pro laptop.
There's the cherry on top. Yes, nice.
By Google Lottery in conjunction with the Microsoft Outlook and Wow, really? Hang on. I can't read this properly. By Gmail Lottery.
That's a tech salad you got right there.
He can't read it. He's too excited. Keep going.
Gmail Lottery in conjunction with the Microsoft Outlook Window 8. We collect all the Gmail addresses of the people that are active online among the people that subscribe to Gmail and various Microsoft Window users, because there's only one. We still only select 5 people every year as our winners. Without the winner applying, we are congratulating you for being one of them. However, you'll need to fill in and submit the following information: your full name, your country, your mobile number, contact address, your occupation.
Wow. Your identity's not going to be ripped out of you.
And then you can send it back to them and win $1.5 million.
Oh, follow that onto me. That'd be great. I'd love
it. What I found really funny is even though this came from Google Mail at Hotmail.com, it didn't go to my spam folder. It went into my inbox in Gmail.
Oh, dear. What's wrong with the Gmail spam bots then?
Well, normally I've never seen one slip through. This is the first one I've ever seen get through.
Gmail.
Which is interesting.
Good.
But apparently that. Sorry, what?
Yeah. Oh, I think we just got a little bit of a lag tonight.
We do. It's horrible. It's really normally really good. The filters generally are really good. I've never actually seen one slide through. But also, just on that note, what prompted me with that was also there's been a massive increase in the last week again of the scammers with the New South Wales Traffic Authority or tax office. The email's going around again, so yes. I don't need to tell our listeners because our listeners are far smarter than that, but please tell your friends that they're spam and don't click on them because you will get a virus and it will hurt a lot.
And please tell your kids because they're always on the emails these days. My little girl's got an email. She brings it and says, oh, who's this bloke trying to contact me? And you just don't know who these people are. And I say, oh, look, just block them. And I just block them for her. But there's heaps of ways you can. The kids are becoming so much more engrossed in technology today that they've got to know that there is some bad stuff out there, not to reply to everything. But which leads me on to Scope IT education.
Not just kids.
Just everyone.
it's the elderly as well that you got to worry about.
My wife's boss has had like 10 viruses in 3 weeks because she opens every email she gets.
Yeah, well, that's crazy.
She believes that nothing should be in spam and everything should be read.
Well, she's going to get the cryptovirus one of these days.
What do you mean, Will? Is going to. She has had it 3 times.
Well, she's going to get it another 3 times if she keeps doing that rubbish.
She is the stupidest person on the face of the earth, and then she complains because the computer doesn't work.
Well, that's what happens. That's what happens. But let us move on to Scope IT education. Kids today are engrossed with technology, as we know, often spending excessive hours behind their screens. The guys at the Scope IT education aim to fight that war. They instead aim to change those hours into productive hours. They turn consumers into creators. So that's what it's all about. Scope IT Education is a teaching organisation that provides curriculum-based technology training to primary age students. Predominantly, lessons are done within the school system with refined, professionally developed courses that align with and complement current state and national-based outcomes. The course range is vast, with classes in introductory coding skills, with process-based logical thinking, app development, website design, digital citizenship, Google research, and now even 3D printing, electronics, and robotics. Of course, all the courses are fun and engaging. They carefully combine this with specific outcomes to help share our children's education for the future, arming them with the technology skills that they will need in the world they grow up in tomorrow. If you think this sounds interesting, they have franchise business opportunities for anyone feeling that this is the product that sounds intriguing, or if you would like to know more information as a teacher or a principal, check out the website, scopeiteducation.com.au. And we thank the guys for their support of Aussie Tech Heads and Aussie Maxone. Well done. And so while I'm mentioning all that sort of stuff, don't forget facebook.com/AussieTechEds. You can see the show, video of the show at or off the webpage or at youtube.com/AussieTechEds. Or you can jump into the 24/7 Shoutcast Radio at AussieTechRadio.com. There's a number of little shows on there, all from Australia or New Zealand, and they just pump around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just join in and you'll probably end up with a different show every time you join in. And if you like the show, go and download
it. Or you're like me and you randomly join at different times during the day and the night and you get the same show.
Yeah. Depends, yeah. Well, I suppose depends. If you're doing it at even intervals, you might get the same. But
if it's completely random, I'm like, oh, I'm bored now. I'll just listen to that. Oh, I heard this already. It's just so random. But, yeah, you get the same shows like 3 days in a row.
Yeah, yes. All right. Rennie, what else have you got for us this week?
And I was just looking at your story about the new Chinese character that's emerged.
Oh, yes. How's that one going?
I studied Chinese for 4 years at uni and got to the stage where I could pick up the People's Daily and
more or less
read it.
Yeah, right. You seen that one before?
Well, no, because it's not in... I picked up my Chinese-English dictionary here.
Yes.
And had a look through it, and no, I couldn't even. Oh, sorry, you can't even see that. It's a Chinese thing.
Doesn't matter, we can't read it anyway.
Yeah, okay. But.
Yeah, so well, let's stay with that one then for a second. Yeah, so this little character, it's taken China by storm. No one apparently knows quite what it means. So someone's probably drunkenly doodled it, I suppose. The character, it's called, I don't know how you would pronounce it, but Duang, D-U-A-N-G. It is so new that it does not even exist in the Chinese dictionary. So there you go, your dictionary is superseded already. But it has already spread like wildfire in China, appearing more than 8 million times on Weibo, which is the some blogging, micro-blogging site.
Wow, Weibo's still a thing.
The problem I have with the whole thing, is that there's a sentence in here that Duang seems to be an example of onomatopoeia,
yes,
which, as you know, is a word, phonetic word, that sounds the same forward as backward. And the Chinese language is not phonetic.
Yes.
So I don't know where that's going. But anyway.
It's just weird. But apparently.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Someone's made it up. And so apparently it's everyone's dwanging. And
yeah, is it white or gold or is it blue and black? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Onomatopoeia, it's a word that means what it sounds like.
Yeah, sorry, that's right.
Yeah, there's no perfect translation, but you could use it as an adjective to give emphasis to the word that follows. A kitten might be dwang cute, for example, or you might be very dwang confused. Duang seems to be an example, of the onomatopoeia. Hang on, let's get the character back up so we can have a look at him. So apparently it seems to have all started with Jackie Chan back in 2004, featured in a shampoo commercial where he famously defended his sleek black hair using the rhythmical sounding duang. Whatever that is. The word resurfaced again recently after Chan posted on his webpage. Thousands of users then began to flood Chan's Weibo page with comments, coining the word in reference to his famous shampoo appearance. So, yeah, duang, duang, duang. It sounds like the chiffons or something, doesn't it? Something like that. Duang, 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 duang. Whoever they are. All right. Okay. What else have you got, Rennie?
Just a couple of things. For the that's probably more suited to old fart geeks, I suppose. But vinyl sales are up 120% year on year.
Oh, of?
Yeah, that's really cool.
And
of what?
Well, anything.
Just in general, vinyl sales. I mean, there's actually one of the few record pressing plants, I think there's only one left in Australia, and they've actually gone to 24-hour around-the-clock processing now.
Yeah, right.
Just to keep up. And if anyone's interesting. If anyone, who out there is interesting? That's the Jackie Chan. It's not Duang, it's Boang. It's nothing at all, not even remotely close.
So it is the chiffons. We knew it.
It's actually, that's the name of the shampoo. But yes. the vinyl sales, it's been going burko. I can't believe a lot of bands now are actually only releasing vinyl. They'll release just a vinyl album now.
Now, why is this, do you think? Are you a audiophile ready?
In a sense, but I'll tell you what, I don't miss vinyl.
No.
Because all my records are all, you know, scratched and
yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter how careful you are with them, they always get a click in them, and you know, you're always expecting that to be there in the song, you know.
I've got some of the old ceramic records on an old valve turntable.
Jeez.
It has the most gorgeous sound, and there's nothing at all that comes close to that sound. It's just some most, any song you listen to on that at all, and you're just hypnotized by it. It's so amazing, the sound quality. But don't forget, you can't. There is no digital equivalent to vinyl. You cannot reproduce, even come close to reproducing that sound on digital media. And especially given the limited bit rates and the high compression that we have on digital media. Even our studio raw audio file, which I have some of because there are people in my family who record that for a living, several hundred meg for a song on a raw version of that is still not as clean as actually listening to it. Yet vinyl comes across absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's analog, isn't it? Really? So it's like it's not compressed or restricted.
It's analog. It records. That's right. It's not compressed. It records every single hertz spectrum from 1 hertz up to whatever the, you know, 20,000. Whereas your digital copies, even the uncompressed stuff, only does from like 100 to 15,000, or I can't remember what the top range is, but the frequency response in digital music is so far below what it's like. Basically, the difference between using Skype and using a telephone. Skype has a much broader response frequency, and usually the audio coming through Skype, if you have a decent connection, and Microsoft doesn't get in the way, is much cleaner than the same conversation heard over a phone, because the compression in a phone, even though it's only one single mono voice channel, but you multiply that by, you know, a couple of hundred samples when you're putting music and effects over top of it, and yeah, the analog system is by far a better system.
Because the whole idea with the MP3s is that, like, you take it from an analog, which has got that wide range of the hertz, as Will was saying. And so the MP3 dudes, when they created that, they go, okay, well, human ear can't hear from there on and can't hear from there on. So they discard that information. That makes the file instantly so small. And then they compress what's left even further. And
But the thing is, you may not be able to hear that sound, but you can hear that it's not there.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes... The younger generations, the kids, you know, who are probably 20 and below, they're quite happy to be listening to their phone while they're walking down the street on something they've recorded off the radio the day before. You know, as long as it's sort of noise, they're happy to listen to that.
Mm.
But if you're a true audiophile and you really appreciate music, you listen to Beatles, you listen to Pink Floyd, you listen to any of those, you listen to them on record, and then you listen to them on CD, and you cannot stand there and tell me that the record is not far superior, especially through a good set of the good old-fashioned solid headphones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's good.
You know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, yes, modern digital music is fine, but
It's if you're not... an audio connoisseur, you would appreciate the vinyl, except if it's if you're one of Rennie's with scratches and rubbish all over it.
Yeah, but I mean, even I'll admit that vinyl has a peculiar sound.
Mm.
But it's very warm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is, though,
it's engrossing for sure.
The later stuff, like the late 80s, early 90s, the record players were getting cheap. The records were pressed out of cheap materials. They weren't the quality of the earlier stuff where you had the proper valves and the reeds and the proper warm-up of the amplifiers and all that, where you had that that humming in there before you even started the record up, and then you had that mechanical clunk of the arm as it drops onto the record with the that's the experience of listening to a record. It's you can't emulate that.
Aren't photos coming back now as well, like developed photos?
Yeah,
is that
it's becoming a very like proper film photos as opposed to printed digital photos.
Yeah.
Because once again, the quality and depth, it doesn't matter how good your camera is, it's a digital image.
Mm.
Yeah. It is nowhere near as... I mean, there's trickery you can do on a digital camera that you can't reproduce on a film camera. But once again, it's that warmness, it's that analog, that organic feel that you get with a proper camera that you don't get with a digital image.
And even as like things like everything's going to go full circle in it. Like, you know, you get all your magazines now on your iPad. Well, I've just subscribed to a paper one because I think a paper one's better because I can take it more places, screw it up, throw it around, and it's still, I just open it up and it's there, it's on straight away, if you know what I mean. I mean, yeah, so I'm going back to paper. I'm going backwards.
I'm still like about that. Like traveling, I spent a lot of time traveling when I was working in Melbourne. I'd spend an hour each way on the train a day. And a paper, a normal traditional newspaper, wasn't necessarily beneficial because it was too big, too bulky, too awkward. But then you had things like the MX and stuff like that that were small, like 10-page, half-fold newspapers. They were nice and easy to use. You know, you could get them out of the way, stuff like that. They were great. So, actual hard copy, I'm in two minds about that. I think there is a place for it, like a lot of workshop manuals, for example. Like I still use the actual hard copy workshop manuals to fix cars and things like that, because there's nothing like having that open your workbench with a screwdriver on the page that you're working from to keep it open.
Mm.
And all the grease stains on the most commonly used pages, so when you buy a car, you look through it and you go, so that's where the problem is. You know, stuff like that I still believe is far better to read on paper, and blueprints and schematics are far better on paper than on digital, but there's definitely... I think the bulk of the media we consume these days, digital is doing it justice. Like, there's no reason to have a paper version of a lot of it, I don't think.
Mm. Well, that's right. But so are we still lagging, or are we sort of all...
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, so sorry. If we can, we're nearly at the end. So I don't think it's not lagging too much for the recording. So that's not too bad. But let's go into the richest man in the world. Any surprises that it's Bill Gates again? This is the 16th time he's had this honor. From
he keeps giving money away, so I don't know how he keeps making so much. But
I know
because everything he gives away is a tax deduction.
It might be, but. But anyway, so Forbes magazine has got him up there as number one again. Now, he beat this Mexican businessman, Carlos Slim. Now, Gates' net worth rose by just over $3 billion. It rose by $3 billion in the year to 13th of February to $79 billion. That'd be US, but $79 billion.
That'd just be the interest, probably.
A lot of money. he'd still be getting a massive dividend from Microsoft.
I mean, he's everywhere. Have you seen the Aussie Tech Heads page lately?
Oh, there he is. What's he doing down there? What page is that on?
It's Aussie Tech Heads.
Hey?
You didn't know about this, did
what you? Have you done?
There is a fantastic little web page called GeoCityizer.
Right.
And it turns modern web pages into what the old GeoCities pages used to look like.
Right.
So if you go there and put the Aussie Tech Heads one in, that's what you're going to come up with.
Yeah, right. Oh, I thought I'd been hacked. Yeah, no, not again. Not again. So anyway, so there's a record 1,826 billionaires in the world. Now, that's an increase of 181 in the past 12 months. Excellent. Gates has now been top of the list for 16 times over the last 21 years. There's also a new record of 46 billionaires under the age of 40. Damn, I didn't make it. Zuckerberg moves up five places to the rankings to number 16, worth about $33.4 billion. The youngest billionaire in the world is 24-year-old Ivan Spiegel, the co-founder of the Snapchat. Can you believe it? Snapchat. Yuck. Rennie, are you a Snapchat user?
No, I'm not, but you got to think that's all paper money. I mean, well, it's not even paper money. It's a value that's been whacked on a company.
Yeah, I'd say.
Pending another round of funding, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, true.
It could disappear tomorrow.
Yeah. But anyway, there he is, the 1.5 billion anyway. Silicon Valley has produced 23 new billionaires this year. And I think Rennie's probably pretty much on the money there. It's probably just all on paper. If you go try to sell these things. Well, Snapchat was offered, a billion or something, weren't they? And he turned it down, reckons he, or was he offered less? I don't know. But anyway, so 2015 ranking, Bill Gates, and where do you go down to? So Microsoft, and next guy, this Carlos Slim, who was into phones and construction. Phones and construction. That's two diverse, pretty, you know.
In Mexico.
Yeah. Well, I suppose.
Isn't that like construction of playing cards and poker chips?
Yeah. Warren Buffett.
Oh, really? Still?
Yeah. Amanika Ortega in fashion. Larry Ellison, Oracle. Charles Koch, industrialist. There's Walmart.
Oracle, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oracle has disappeared from day-to-day sort of media, I guess.
He's living on the memories. There's quite a few in there. So that's pretty good. Will, what else have you got you want to talk about?
Just quickly, for the last couple of years, we've been bagging out Virgin Mobile, obviously for obvious reasons, because they're Virgin Mobile and they deserve to be bagged out. But the last month, they have just decided they've been doing rollover voice and rollover SMSs and stuff for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But in the last month, they've now decided that they're doing rollover data as well. So you can actually, although it's only 30 days, it's only a month after, but if you don't use any data on your previous month's plan, you can roll it over. It'll automatically roll over into the next month, so you have whatever data's left over plus your new data as well. They're the first phone company in Australia to do that. Although things like in America, a lot of the AT&T, for example, has, like or T-Mobile has a one-year rollover, so you've got 1 year to roll over your data, but still, it's a start, so...
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, not too bad. Old Virgin. So they use the Optus system, don't they?
Yeah, I think they've ditched all their own towers now. I think they've decided that after three sold them all to them and they couldn't maintain them, they decided to get rid of them.
Now, the World Health Organization has come out with a warning for young people. It reckons that you shouldn't be listening to your Walkmans or your iPhone for more than an hour a day. So there you go. It says
listening to how
1.1 billion teenagers and young adults are at risk of permanently damaging their hearing by listening too much too loudly. Audio players, concerts, and bars were posing a serious threat. The figures show that 43 million people aged between 12 to 35 have hearing loss. Oh, that's no good.
Oh, what did you say?
Yeah. I went to Susie Quattro the other week. I had a bit of ear ringing.
Oh, how was that? That would have been awesome.
Oh, it went off. Went crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
I so wanted to go and see that.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was probably, by the end of it, five songs or whatever from the end, there was not one person sitting down, eh? It was just all just up and just going crazy. It was just a really, really good event, really good concert. So her last tour, which is a shame. I left it to the last one to go and see it. But anyway. Now, look, we talked about Chromecast and stuff before. Now, if you want it, you can get 3 months of the Australian Personal Computer for $3. $1 a month. There you go. You just go to the Google Play Store and you'll be able to do that. Now, it's pretty strange because it says that the promotion runs from March the 2nd to the 16th, lasts for the first 3 months of the subscription. So, look, I went all the way up to purchase, and I couldn't see anywhere where it said that you were only buying it for a dollar for a month for 3 months. I don't know where their terms were, but I couldn't see it. But you want to be careful anyway, because it says after that, the regular price of $6.49 per issue from then onwards applies. But then again, I went, $6.49, that's a bit rich, isn't it? You know, for a digital copy of a magazine. And so then I went to the APC, so I looked how much it was to get delivered to my door, and it was only like $5.20 or something. I don't understand it. So there, anyway, if you're interested in APC, go and have a look. It's dollar for 3 months. If you're going to do it, you might as well get that one.
I didn't even know they're still around.
Yeah, they're still hanging.
To be honest.
Yeah,
I haven't even walked into a news agent's for probably 12 months.
Yeah, they're still hanging around. What else? Have you got anything else, Rennie? Let's have a look down here. What do you got? What do you got here?
Just to finish up there, mate, I've got get your smart car now because they're going away.
Yeah, where are they going? They're flat.
Out of Australia, put it that way.
What does that mean?
Well, believe it or not, they've been selling smart cars in Australia since 2005, I think.
Right.
And they've decided since they've sold 200 or something this year, it's probably time that they moved on and got out of the market.
Yeah, right.
And the biggest problem is they're just too expensive for what they were.
Yeah. It comes down way to overpriced.
Yeah. Well, I suppose all these new things are.
I was in Europe a few years ago, and they were quite popular because they could park end-in.
Yeah, okay.
And which made sense in places like bloody Rome and Paris and stuff.
Mm.
Until someone decides that you're a bit too close and they just
hit you.
Go straight into your door and shunch up the road sideways.
Yeah. Well, we used to park back in, didn't we?
I've seen that happen.
Yeah, we used to park rear to the curb. I don't know why they changed. You're not allowed to do
New
that.
New South Wales front, forward end now.
They what? Sorry, Will?
It depends on where you are and what state you're in. New South Wales, a lot of the places still do rear in.
Yeah, right. I didn't mind rear in. So, you know, so it was good.
It's the biggest problem with it is you've got holding up traffic. That's why they've stopped doing it.
Yeah, right.
Because you've got if you stop in the middle of the road and all the cars behind you have to stop, and then they've got to wait for you to back in, assuming they give you room to do that.
Mm.
Whereas with Ford in, okay, you're going to hold up cars when you're backing out, but it's for a much shorter period of time.
Yeah. Now, Rennie, you've got here, you wanted to discuss voice recognition. You are you a fan? You're discussing it because you like it or you hate it?
Well, what I was actually on about is because I really don't see some of these tech trends that are current at the moment taking off.
Mm.
Maybe they will for kids and whatever, and that they'll probably tell us what we need to do in the future. But talking to inanimate objects,
yeah,
is a bit weird, and B, it's often fraught because they get the story wrong. You know, whatever you're trying to tell them to do.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was on a website today, and you know how they have the instant chats. You know, you can chat to an operator or whatever.
I hate that.
Yeah, and so I got onto one.
It's okay if they sit in the corner, but when they pop up in the middle of the screen and go, hey, we noticed you've been here for more than 5 seconds, you must need help.
Yeah, well, this one popped up when I went to close the browser or whatever, and so it popped up and I went, oh, okay, well, I'll ask my questions, you know, because I might as well get it off my chest. I'll ask the questions. And then the first couple of lines was, hi, how are you? My name's whatever, Amber or whatever it was.
It's scripted, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was just, and then I said, are you real? And it came back and it said, I'm your virtual assistant. And I went, okay, are you human? I can help you if you want. And I went, okay, you're not. So it's even gone to that, Rennie. It's even gone to now you're chatting to machines, you know, and the machines are trying to give you the answers.
I draw the line at Siri.
Yeah.
That sort of works. That's not too bad.
Yeah. So I think
but,
I have
I'll,
to.
I'll, you know, I was just I've watching the... a. Sorry, yeah. Go on.
Sorry.
I was going to say, I've got the, I've got the Note 2 and the Note 3 and the Note 4. And because I got the Note 4 because the Note 2 was off contract. So, and I actually had a play with it the other day, the voice recognition on all three phones. I put them side by side, said, you know, I set the keyword to Hey Google or whatever the keyword is, and triggered them all and asked a question on all of them at the same time. And the only one that actually got it right, what I said, was the Note 4. The Note 3 was almost right, and the Note 2 wasn't even close. So obviously whatever they're doing in their voice search is getting better.
Hmm. Here's something for your iPhone, Rennie. Ask Siri, why are fire trucks red? And see what she tells you. It's not rude or anything. But Michael brought it up on the Aussie Max Zone on Tuesday, and so I did it, and she gave me the answer. I thought, that's pretty clever. All right, look.
Have you seen the thing going around on Facebook at the moment where you type, you go into your comments thing, and you just do, you bring up your keyboard so that you bring up your on-screen keyboard, and then you press the middle, you know, autocorrect button.
Yeah.
Whatever it comes in, you just press that 20 times and then you have a sentence structure. So it's different on every phone. On this one, I did it earlier and it just came up saying I am beautiful. On this one, on this one it says I'm a beautiful person and I have a great day.
Oh, see, that's why you can't get rid of them, Will.
So yeah, that's but you read through the comments, the thing that's going around on Facebook, and some of them are hilarious. It's like, I have a duck that walks on water and its name's Fred and stuff like this.
Yeah, right. So what, you got to push the middle thing?
Yeah, just the middle autocorrect thing.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, well, this is my last little story for this week. We better tell you about it. The Apple event, which is March 9. I didn't talk about this, did I? I might have quickly, but anyway, the March 9, so that's we'll talk about that. This what happened on March 9 next week. It's called simply Spring Forward is the invitation. What's on the invitation? Which is, you know, who would know what it means? Everyone likes to get into these little Apple slogans and invitations, but obviously the March the 9 is the day after or the day before daylight saving in the US. So you know, time, watch, all this sort of stuff. Apple said the event will take place in San Francisco 10 a.m., which is around about, I think that's 5 a.m. in Sydney, 6 a.m. 6 a.m. in Sydney, 5 a.m. up here in Queensland. So the company has said that its smartwatch wearable devices unveiled last year to much fanfare were on track to begin shipping in April. It will mark Apple's first new product since the iPad. How's that? 2010. Apple has previously indicated the entry price will be $349. That's getting up there. That's going to be like, what's that going to be? $349. That's right. That's going to be close to $400 for a watch. Ouch. That's a lot. That's a lot. And that was another one. Something else you didn't like, isn't it, Renny? Wearables. You're not a fan of the wearables? You think they're a passing fad?
Hula hoops and yayas, mate.
Yeah, could be. Look, I'm waiting for the Apple Watch to come out, see what it's all about. Look, I can't see myself dropping $400 on it.
Yeah, I think you and I and a bunch of others are sort of standing by to see what Apple's actually got.
It'd have to be something.
And yet there'll be people, as second it's released, they'll be lining up around the block to go and get it.
No doubt. Yeah. So if you want more on that, more on the anticipation of the Apple event, just download this week's Aussie Mac Zone because we spoke about it a bit more in depth down there. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another week, unless anyone else has got anything to get off their chest. Will, you know, have a quick couple of things. So
just quickly. We all know that selfies are, you know, the big thing at the moment. So, I missed the story. So Lenovo's getting on the act. They've created the Selfie Flash. It's a Bluetooth-triggered flash that plugs into the headphone jack to power it. And it's designed to be triggered when you press the camera button so that it lights up your face and gives you a nice high-quality, well-lit selfie rather than the horrid dark images that you see getting around.
Nice.
It's supposed to be $45 when it comes out later this year in Australia.
Nice.
So these are all stories from the new World's Largest Mobile Phone Convention show, which is the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. There's the top 10 ones they're showing. There's only a couple that are super interesting. One is one I mentioned before about the new Nokia tablet that's being released, the 7.9-inch tablet. Made of solid aluminium, et cetera, et cetera. You can check about that. It's called the the N1. Yeah. There's obviously people are getting on the watch. LG is doing a watch as well. We're running WebOS, which is interesting. Samsung is doing the Gear, which is basically the Oculus Rift sort of deal. So that's becoming more and more of a reality. Speaking of high-end watches, guess? You're supposed to guess. Anyway, has teamed up with the California-based analog watch manufacturer. So it's still a traditional analog-style watch, but you can see it in the bottom there. It's got a small LCD display, and that's to connect to your Apple or your Google-based phone using apps, and it'll deliver text messages, voice messages, translated to text, phone calls, and various other bits and pieces down that little screen there.
Nice.
And HTC is doing the Vice, which is the rotational virtual reality headset. It's got infrared scanners and things like that all around it so that it detects full 360-degree head movement.
Yep.
So that you can keep, so, you know, do the whole proper virtual reality thing. And, yeah, there's a few other bits and pieces, but they're apparently they're the top 10 things that have come out of this. So it's obviously not going to be a very busy year.
Hmm. Good work. All right. Good stuff. All right, I think that's about it. And, oh, look, isn't it good to have the footy back, eh? First round one. Yeehaw, let's go. So that's, yeah, I was going to pass comment on that. Remember that guy that was on Michael, what's his name? The guy with the cocaine? He got $2,500 fine. It's crazy, isn't it? He had something. Not really. Like 28.
I was wondering how that turned out.
We had 28. Do you have 28 kilos on him or something? Or 12 kilos or something? He gets $2,500. Carmichael Hunt. Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
There's something in the name on it.
The ARU pinged him for $30,000 and 6 week suspension.
Oh, only 6 weeks. I thought they would have kicked him out like for bringing the game into disrepute. But anyway.
No, because he didn't talk back to an umpire, so he's fine.
Yeah, didn't pat one on the head.
They pinged him 10 times more than the
judicial the court system. Did. Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know how that works. I don't know. Yeah, $2,500 doesn't seem a lot, does it, when he's earning something like probably $1 million a year or something, whatever he was on. But anyway, that's a story for another show. All right, so thanks, Rennie. Thanks for coming in. Good to see you. Good to have you on for your first time.
It's great to be here, guys. Happy to join you.
Good stuff. Well, hopefully we'll see you again sometime. If you're willing. Yeah, good stuff. Good work. All right, thanks, Will. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. And don't forget, go and check out obsidianloft.com for all your Minecraft and voxel-based gaming requirements. And also check out oldfartgeeks.com. It's for the old tech and just us sitting around having a bit of a natter about old stuff and what we enjoy doing and what we miss and what we look forward to in the old stuff. So check that out as well.
Yes, and good work. And I don't even know what Vox is anyway, so I'm going to ask Will what that is in a minute. All right. Until next time, catch us on iTunes, on the RSS feeds, YouTube, do us on Facebook, or send us an email, anyone at aussietechheads.com.au. Even if you want to say something to Rennie, just send it to Rennie at aussietechheads.com. It'll get come to me and I'll send it on. And what else? That's about it. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.